will unfold. And that this is something that's going to be talked about for a long, long time. I really miss the quiet life sometimes, though, when I knew what to expect, what was going to happen next, and I knew that I could do it. In the beginning, it felt like Jesus was this really inspiring guy who told great stories, was tough on all the rule keepers, and somehow was able to heal people physically, to make their hearts and heads feel better. But now he started asking us to be involved, and far out, that's just full on. We've seen these amazing things happen. Miracles, I guess you'd call them. A woman was healed just by touching his coat. He made a storm stop and the seas go calm. It's bonkers. He healed this guy's daughter, and she wasn't just sick, she was dead. He made someone alive again. How does that work? And then he came back to his hometown, and he began, to begin with, he was given this huge hero's welcome. And people are amazed to hear one of their own talk with such wisdom and heal people. But then they began to get cross with him. They thought he was up himself and that he didn't know his place. They knew he hadn't studied under any famous rabbi or done any formal training. He was just a carpenter. I don't think they could understand how he could be so wise, and they certainly didn't think it came from God, because they knew him as a little baby. He was just too normal. He said that everywhere else he was honoured as a prophet, but in his hometown he was squashed, and he couldn't even do many miracles. He just healed a few sick people. But I think he was surprised that they didn't believe him. Remember I told you when he touched this woman's cloak and was healed, she had this amazing faith, and it worked. Maybe that was why the reception in his hometown was so striking. There are lots of little villages all around this area, and for each about a few hours' walk from each other. And so we went wandering from village to village, and Jesus taught the local people. We got a better reception in those places, I can tell you. I loved being in the crowds, watching Jesus work. People are transfixed on his face, taking in everything. There's laughter and smiles, especially when someone is healed or set free. It's like people get their lives back. People enjoy it when he tells off the teachers of the law too. It's like watching the school bully get his comeuppance. We try and hide how much we enjoy it, just in case we get in trouble. But everyone is really happy to be watching it. And when he talks, he paints pictures with his words, and the pictures are just so beautiful. They're about a life that is free and whole, and a God who loves us and is interested in us. People want more and more and more from him. It's like there's never enough. But then last week he did something really different. He got the 12 of us together and he sent us to some villages to heal people and set them free, using God's power, but without Jesus even being there. Wow, that was hard. I was so scared. Simon and I went together. I'm really glad he made us go in twos, because we're both as scared as each other, but we could encourage each other. It was pretty scary to put ourselves out there and to offer to pray for someone. Actually, it's really funny. The first people we prayed for, we went into their house and hid away and prayed for them because we were so scared. But it worked. And gradually we got braver, and soon we were able to stand in the marketplace telling people to come to God and leave their old life. I don't think I even understand what that means fully, but it's something we've heard John say before and now Jesus. We would use oil and pour it on their heads, and they got better. It's a cool thing to be a part of. Pretty unexpected that God could use little old me to do something that useful. It's really hard to get my head around. We weren't allowed to take any stuff with us. It was like we had to only rely on God. That was scary, and he warned us that we could be rejected and told us how to handle it. He didn't want us getting praise and glory for ourselves and using it to make a good life for ourselves. You know, like a fancy place and good food in return for a miracle. He wanted us to remember that it was only because of God that we could do that, and to give all the glory back to God. makes me think about John the Baptist, though, you know. In fact, we keep hearing these rumours that Herod thinks that Jesus is John's ghost, who has come back to haunt him and is going to get him. They say Herod is really freaked out by Jesus. That's pretty funny. He makes such a show of being the big man, but underneath he's scared. I don't think Jesus is John's ghost, because we heard John say that he was preparing the way for Jesus and that Jesus was the answer to his ministry. But I like that it's got Herod all worked up. Actually, though, that does make me pause a bit too. John met with a pretty yucky end. Really gory, actually. I wonder what will happen to Jesus if he makes too many more enemies. The Romans are really powerful. They've got this under their feet, and they don't like anyone challenging their authority. And Jesus keeps talking about this different kingdom. I imagine they're watching him pretty closely. And I guess that means they might be watching us too, especially if Jesus keeps giving us power to do healings and things like that for him. I don't know how I feel about that. A bit of local opposition and rejection is hard enough to handle, but what if they try and hurt us? Would Jesus protect us? Would he stop them? What if he doesn't? I don't like pain. I'd do anything to avoid it, really. But what if following Jesus means things go bad for me? Sometimes when I think about it too hard, my old life seems so appealing. And I think about running away from Jesus and back to how life used to be. But then I think, what's he going to do next? I want to see it. Jesus is amazing. When we came back from our adventure being travelling teachers and healers, we all wanted to tell Jesus about it. And we wanted to hear what had happened to the others and all of us to share our stories. Jesus tried to take us away to give us some rest. And although we were really, we're really excited, but we're pretty shattered too. The problem with Jesus is that people just don't leave him alone. They always want more of him. And when one person sees where he is, it doesn't take long before everyone is there. And I mean everyone. There are thousands of people who want a piece of him. That's another thing that I find amazing. Another reason why I can't leave Jesus. You should see the way he looks at people. It's hard to describe, but there's so much love and tenderness in his eyes. He really sees them, you know. And even though he's tired and he's wanting some space with us, he still sees them. And when he looks at them, he doesn't just see the outside, but seems to be able to see right into their hearts and their souls. And he gives them what they need, which is him. We can see how tired he is, and we tried to get him away, but he turned it back onto us. It's much easier seeing Jesus work and being one of the crowd witnessing these amazing miracles and how incredible he is. But when he puts it back onto us and invites us to be part of it, I get freaked out. All I can see is what's needed from me, and when I look at the crowd, I struggle to see them as anything more than just a complete pain in the butt. He told us to feed this whole crowd of people. We reckoned it would take more than half a year's wages, 6 months' wages, and we don't have that kind of money. And we didn't know how much, you know, didn't he know how much we were already giving up to be there with him? I wonder if he was really challenging us, pushing us into such an uncomfortable space to see what we would do. I feel a bit silly when I think about it now, because we'd just been going around these villages with absolutely nothing, and God had given us everything we needed. We had places to stay, food to eat, and were able to speak to people, and God even used us to heal them. I forgot all that when he asked us to feed them, though. I just thought, I can't afford this. It's too much to ask. Then when Jesus took over and everything worked out so perfectly, I felt a bit silly. This was Jesus asking us to trust him, and we'd failed. I felt even more silly when I saw that there was plenty for everyone. And as I quietly filled up baskets, leftovers, I was really sheepish. Of course there was enough. This is Jesus. My whole world is just upside down. Everything around me is different. And yet I still respond how I always have. I see the limits rather than the possibilities. I see what can't happen rather than what could happen. I can't even imagine the possibility. When God shows up and everything turns on its head and I'm left coughing and spluttering and trying to catch up, because it all happened, when it all happens, the weight of it feels too much to ask. That's what is interesting. We're hanging around with this life-changing person and we forget the changes that have happened even in our own lives. Now when I look back, I wish my first response had been, I can't, but you can, and to get on with it. But I didn't, and I don't. I wonder if I'll ever learn. Well, if we were shattered before, then we're completely exhausted now. And so again, Jesus sent us off to get some space while he said goodbye to the crowd. He said he wanted some time alone to pray. We were glad to leave the crowd and glad we didn't have to try and get them to move on. So we got in the boat and started rowing across the lake. It was good to do something physical. And we didn't talk much, but you can tell everyone was really absorbed with their own thoughts. The wind picked up and the rowing got really hard. We were pretty strong and some of us were used to being in boats all the time. But the wind was swirling around us and it felt like we weren't making any progress. As well as being mentally exhausted, we were now tiring physically. We just needed a rest, but the wind and the waves were relentless. Later Jesus told us he saw us from where he went to pray on the mountain. And he decided to come to us. So being Jesus, he walks to us, right over the water. We had our heads down and we were concentrating so hard just on keeping our oars steady and in sync. When John calls out, look! We're all startled out of our deep concentration and panicked as we looked up. Have you felt a sudden rush of fear before? Well, for me, it was so strong and overwhelming. I had waves of anxiety and adrenaline washing up and down my body, and inside me, everything kind of is jiggling. My feet sweat. My hands sweat and get clammy. My brain's in a daze like someone's put this big cloth over it. And the edges of my face get all wobbly and tingly. My fingers shake and my teeth hurt. Inside of me, it feels like I'm screaming and no sound is coming out. Every part of me is on alert and ready for action. We all thought it was a ghost, and our fears overtook us all and multiplied. And then the ghost spoke, and we recognized the voice. It was strong and gentle, a little frustrated, and full of compassion. How did it manage to be both? But again, the wind stopped, and the waves became calm. We all dropped our heads and waited till the beating of our hearts returned to normal. We don't understand you, Jesus. We have no idea what you're really about. Our heads and our hearts are confused. It's like living in an alternate reality. We rowed on slowly to Gennesaret with Jesus in the boat. It was pretty quiet, with each one of us trying to get our heads around what had happened. Would we ever understand this man? No sooner than we anchored the boat and prepared to disembark, than the local people saw Jesus and recognised him. His fame was spreading. And once people recognised him, they ran around the whole region telling people he was there. It's been absolutely all go since then. We walk into a village and sick people are lining the marketplace, waiting for Jesus, waiting to be healed. Everyone is reaching out and clamouring for him, wanting to touch the edge of his cloak like the woman from last week. Everyone who touched Jesus got healed. We were giddy with lack of sleep and with the joy that people experienced and shouted about. And now I'm here with you. I'm so tired. I feel like I could sleep for days. But I'm so excited to see what the adventure's going to be next. I'm nervous about what Jesus is going to ask of me next. That's your thing, you know. The more I'm around Jesus, the more I want to keep following him, keep learning about this God he talks about. The more I want to be involved and help. Jesus paints a picture of a world I really want to see. A world where people are free and whole and caring for each other. I don't understand everything that's happening around me. And sometimes Jesus seems like he's talking in riddles. And I'm so confused, but I have a sense of dread too. Like I'm being judged for being with him. And that I've seen as a threat too. And I wonder what he's going to ask us to do next. What is his next challenge? And will we ever understand what's going on? I have this niggling thought that hovers just below the surface. It's, how's this all going to end? That's what's in my head. It's pretty full on, eh? It's hard to make sense of it all, but it feels too good to get it out. There's something about Jesus that I have to follow, no matter what. And I guess I can let that be for a while. I think I'm going to bed now. Thanks for the bed for the night. I'm so tired, and I have no idea what tomorrow will hold.